Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us back here on the show. I know how unprofessional that they're going to be coughing and sneezing.
Yeah.
I know. You bring them on the show, you just can't take them out. I don't know. We want to welcome to the show this evening. We've got the co-founders of the Twin Cities Paranormal Society, based here in Minnesota, of course. We've got Lisa Hottinger and Michelle Baser with us this evening. Good evening, ladies.
Hello.
Now, well, listen to this. Minnie Mouse and Mighty. We've got our own living EVP women right in the office with us. Now, the Twin Cities Paranormal Society, they're, again, a nonprofit organization. They're set up to investigate anything of a paranormal nature. Tonight, they're investigating how the hell we got our own radio show. All their investigations are approached with an open mind, and they're conducted in a professional manner. They are an investigative group, and they conduct themselves through an intensive research into locations with alleged haunted activity. They're a team of people from varied backgrounds with a wide range of interests and experience. And you can get more information about the team by going to, and you got to spell it all out, it's a long one, Twin Cities Paranormal Society. That's Twin Cities, C-I-T-I-E-S, ParanormalSociety.com. You'll be able to find information there. You'll be able to review some of the evidence that they were able to post up on their site. And, well, ladies, welcome to the show, and thank you very much for joining us here this evening.
Thanks for having us.
Now, I want to talk. Got to look at the microphone. That's better. Good. Now I want to check with you guys. Now, of course, there's quite a few paranormal groups all over the United States that are popping up. A lot of people come to me and they want to know, how do we start our own paranormal group? And I wanted to start off with you guys because you did it in a great way. You started up on meetup.com, is that right?
Right.
Okay. And you just what? Now explain to me what Meetup is, Michelle. Tell me a little bit about meetup.com.
Meetup is just a place where they have lots of people from all over the country. They start their groups and they you just have different interests and stuff there. And pretty much all it is just people signing up and trying to get to meet other people that have the same interests and stuff there. So that's about it.
All right. So once you guys started up on there, now, did you do it with the intention of starting a paranormal group, or was it just a chance to get together with other people that were fans of the paranormal?
I think we kind of did it as both, but more so to start a group to find more people in the Twin Cities area that has the interest in the paranormal who wants to go out and investigate.
All right. Now, so you started up on Meetup. Tell me, I mean, you guys had pretty amazing turnout, right? How many people did you have totally that when you first started up, how many people did you have that joined up on your boards? Because this was pretty cool. You had a lot of people, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a lot of people. We had total, I think, about 105 people.
109.
Oh, my bad. 109 people that signed up that were interested in joining our group.
Yeah, the funny thing is, there's so many groups out there that are already set, and as you guys learn, membership fills up quick, and you don't want to be a jerk and keep people out, but you have to get to a limit where you're like, there's just no way we're going to get 109 people in for most of these investigations, unless, of course, you're going on darkness events where we take you.
Hey!
That's right. You can go out and do these investigations, so you guys actually had to limit membership to your own group, right?
Definitely.
Had you tried to contact and join other groups before you decided, let's try our own?
I know I personally did, and I'm pretty sure that Lisa did as well. They were either just closed or they never returned phone calls, and so.
Or they're run by 17-year-old boys.
And there's a problem with 17-year-old boys?
Not
All right, so you guys started up your paranormal group. Let's start off, Michelle. Tell me a little bit, since we got the mic right by here, and as clear a voice as you can. Let's get up close to the mic, and then tell me what initially got you involved in the paranormal. That this is something that you wanted to spend your Fridays and Saturday nights out investigating.
I've been interested in the paranormal since I was about 11 years old. That's when I had my first experience. I was at my house and home alone, and my parents were out, and I saw a full body apparition, and that just kind of, it didn't scare me, but I was just, I didn't know what was going on, and, you know, I had questions. And
how old were you at this time?
I was 11.
11 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, this full body apparition, was it a male? Female?
It was a female. It was an older lady, and I could see her pink nightgown, clear as day, but obviously, you know, you could see through her, and she was just standing there in the hallway.
Now, did she look at you? Did she see you as well?
She did see me. We stared at each other for what felt like forever, but it wasn't. It was probably, you know, just a few seconds, and she smiled at me, turned around, and disappeared.
Now, was she dressed contemporary? Did she look like she was a throwback to the 50s, to the 1800s, to...
She was pretty contemporary. I wouldn't say that she was necessarily older than maybe the 70s with the type of nightgown that she had on.
Hmm. See, now that's interesting to me, Tim, because we've talked about it on the show. You know, a lot of times I wonder if maybe we're not seeing a spirit, per se, as we think it is, a ghost, you know, somebody that's passed on. Maybe we're looking through the veil at another reality, and your home in the other reality is this woman's home. And you may be as big a surprise to her as she was to you at that particular moment, and being like, oh my goodness, well, there's a little girl here. Isn't that interesting? You know, and she might not have been afraid as well. But I often wonder, because if it was more of a contemporary look, you know, I mean, most of the times we hear it's the, you know,
the whole Victorian type dress.
Victorian look and everything. Now, did you ever, in your research now, have you ever gone back to find out if somebody passed away in that house that would fit that description?
Well, right after I had that experience, I talked to my parents about it, and we asked the people who we were renting the house from, and they did say that there was an older couple that had lived there quite for a while before we got in the property, and the lady, the wife, had passed away in that bedroom where I saw her at. So that's who we kind of contributed it to.
So now, did you start off when you were doing your paranormal investigating? Did you start off by going to cemeteries and haunted old creepy buildings and doing that stuff? Were you sneaking in and starting off that way to get your, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's how a lot of people just start out. Yeah.
What kind of equipment did you use when you started?
Just a camera and a DVR, and just kind of went with it. And a flashlight, of course. So.
All right. Was there any moment when you were out there doing investigating before you got officially with a team that you thought, maybe I'm in over my head doing this kind of stuff?
No, it's always just been something that I really enjoy, something that no matter what, in the back of my mind, I'm just always trying to find proof to, I guess, just to kind of show that, you know, there is something out there, that people aren't really crazy, and that I'm not crazy for seeing what I've seen, and that's just what I'm kind of here to do.
I've known you for a while. I'm not convinced that you're still not crazy.
Well, yeah, I know. A lot of people feel that way, too.
Well, we'll have Lisa step up a little bit here. Now, Lisa, I need you to tell me a little bit about you and your experience as well. I mean, how old were you? How long ago was this that you started, you know, your major involvement in the paranormal? Was there a certain moment that really kind of set it off for you, or has it just always been an ongoing thing?
Yeah, actually, since I was like 8 years old, we've always, in my family, had things going on in all of our houses. My aunt's houses. Sorry.
No, that's fine. We're trying to teach the girls how to talk into a microphone. They're very shy. They don't want to get it too. I promise the microphone won't bite. Tim does, but the microphone doesn't. So you started seeing things when you were younger then?
Yep, as early as when I was 8. I saw a man in my bedroom with a trench coat. I know.
That was me!
Good gosh. Well, that would be disturbing anyway. So, but was it full-on apparition?
It was a full-on apparition.
Legs and all, or was it floating?
Legs and all. He was kind of, I don't even know how to explain it. He was a full apparition, but I could kind of see through him, so I don't know.
And so you could see the full definition, but he was still kind of transparent to a degree. Okay,
correct.
All right. Now, did he take notice of you?
Nope, he just stood there.
He just stood there. So it could have been that he was waiting for a bus or a train or or the newspaper delivery.
I don't think that he was aware that I was there.
Okay. So it could have been more of a residual. Now, did you find out anything about that property? Was it at one point maybe a bus stop or a train station?
Okay. I don't know.
All right.
I know the house is still standing.
Have you had any moments yourself when you started doing this in the beginning? Now, did you used to go out by yourself to investigate, or did you have your little Nancy Drew friends that you hung out with and try to investigate?
No, actually, this is why my dad is going to just laugh at this, because okay. I grew up watching scary movies with my dad. I was raised just by my dad, and he would let me stay up till 10 o'clock to watch Frankenstein and all those. And I learned, never investigate. If you go investigate, that's when you die.
That's true. We've also learned that don't have sex or smoke drugs, because that's when the masked killer will get you too. And they always go for the fat, funny guy, so Tim and I never joke around when we're out in public. We just try to stay straight, because that's a lot of trouble. So out of that, you learned that lesson, but you still started getting into this. At what age did you actually start investigating the paranormal then?
I think the first time that my sister's eye actually investigated, we were probably, I don't know, 18.
So it was like 2 or 3 years ago?
At least.
Okay, good. Now, when you went out investigating, did you ever have that holy sh moment?
Was that?
The holy sh moment?
Actually, the places that we investigated were our home. We had multiple homes, and we just investigated those because there was always activity in our homes. I don't know.
Three teenage girls, a little PK, some not menopausal, but what is it, puberty coming up? Well, isn't that what they say? A lot of activity occurs around young women, especially if you're in a collection like that. I mean, that's got to be crazy amounts of energy being thrown off. Now, so you decided you wanted to get into this deeper. Were you another one of those kind of groups that you saw TV shows like Ghost Hunters and you thought, you know, I'd really like to get involved in a group where I can go out and experience this on my own? Or did you have this interest before all the croppings of the TV show?
Absolutely before.
Okay.
But
it's made it easier since the show
has.
To start
it has.
Right?
It's made it easier. Before Ghost Hunters, I had contacted multiple groups that were in the Twin Cities. And like we said, they're either run by, you know, crazy people, 17-year-old boys, or else they're not open and they're not returning calls. And so that's when we decided, you know what, we're going to open our own.
Okay. All right. Now, what is your goal? We'll start off with Lisa and then we'll switch back over to Michelle again. What is your goal when you're setting up to do this type of investigations? Are you looking just to find proof of the paranormal, or are you looking to, find a way to help the family that's having the paranormal experience? What's your main goal and focus here?
For me personally, it's to help the family.
Okay.
In my opinion, the families, they want to find some peace. A, they're not crazy, or B, you know, they had a loved one pass on and they're sad and they don't know that, you know, their loved one passed on to where they'd expect them to go.
Right.
I want to help them.
Okay.
Help them find peace, that it's okay.
Do you find that the places that ask you in, are they looking for help to help the spirit move on? Or are most of them just want proof that they're not nuts and that they're hearing something at their place?
Mostly that they're not nuts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's just more they're looking for more validation towards backing up what they're doing and saying, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, we'll swing the mic over here to Michelle and get her going now. Michelle, with that said, I mean, you know, there's 1,000 groups that have popped up. Right. In the last 2-3 years, I mean, it's been exponential, the amount of groups that have joined in and have started doing this. How and why do you feel that Twin Cities Paranormal Society is different? I mean, what or maybe not even different, but what do you feel that you guys bring to the table that can really make a family feel secure that if they're looking for help, that you guys are the ones to get into? And the reason I'm leading into this is I know a lot of your membership. You guys were even goofy enough to invite me to be a part of your team. So, you know, I got to question your abilities right there, but but no, tell us about the different team members and what do they bring? Because I think it's important to know, you know, the skeptic. Why is he a skeptic? Who is he doing? You know, your case manager. Give a little background on the people that you're having in your group.
We have just such a great variety of members. It's astounding sometimes just to sit back and realize. We have a wonderful case manager. She is a sensitive, so she really can get in touch with how other people are feeling when we go to do the preliminary interview and do the walkthrough. I think she does a very good job with that. And then our head debunker, our skeptic of the group, Frank, he is a psychologist by trade. So I think he really brings to light the whole psychological side of everything of this field. And as well as, you know, making sure that it's not, that the our clients aren't, that they don't have something going on up in there, you know, that it's not all made up,
not
really.
Unbalanced.
I mean,
right, right,
we,
right.
we're going to run into that, and I know a lot of groups do. And so I think that in that aspect, too, really helps. We have a great spiritual advisory group. They're more focused on the concept of comforting the clients, as far as making sure that to make sure that we do believe that something could possibly be going on, that they're not crazy. And I think that's very important in this field.
Now, how important do you think it is? And I know I'm putting you on the spot because you've got sensitives that are part of your team. Do you feel that a team is better off having a couple of sensitives in there? Or do you think that the sensitives, other than, you know, it's just kind of nice to have somebody there that might be seeing or feeling something, you know, do you feel that it's an integral part of a team? Do you feel that a team is better off for having sensitives involved in them? Or do you think that it can ever lend itself to group paranoia? Do you know what I'm asking?
Right. That's kind of a tough one. I kind of think that I know that we are better off for the sensitives that we have. There's no doubt about that. I think that it does help when you go in and investigate. It kind of helps you, you know, if they're feeling something over here and we're over way over yonder, you know, that it kind of helps you go back to where they are feeling things are going on. And I definitely feel that, what am I trying to say?
No, you're doing fine.
I definitely feel that it like I was saying, you know, it helps validate the people and comfort them just to know that, hey, you know, they can see something that maybe we can't see, but the homeowners have experienced too.
Now, are you going to the lengths of making sure to keep your sensitives out of the loop of what is going on in investigations?
We do make sure that our sensitives have no information regarding the history of the house, the site, you know. Try not to let them know even some of the activity that has been reported to us about it before they go in there. And we ask the clients before, we ask the clients beforehand, you know, if they want to know everything. And if we don't have any evidence to back up anything that the sensitives get, then that's fine and dandy, but we won't put that on the site. We will make sure that we tell the clients, you know, hey, you know, we got this feeling from this person, but we don't have anything conclusive to back that up. And I think that that works very well.
Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I want to ask you to follow up on that question.
Okay.
Do you think it's maybe, this is where I run into problems with having a sensitive on a team. Because so much of this, as we found, a lot of people involved that believe that they're haunted, a lot of people have a very active imagination. And when you do an investigation and you do the preliminary interview, a lot of them are Stephen King, Dean Koontz readers, right? They've got the books lined with books about the occult and things because they're into this. My fear is by having a psychic or a sensitive that's with you, give any information, say, well, you know, we have no conclusive evidence, but our sensitive was picking up that she felt there was a man here. Do you feel that that could, in a way, jeopardize or maybe taint what this woman's experiences are going forward? Do you think maybe it would be a better idea not to, maybe even not tell them that you have a psychic with your group? You know, now, it might be nice to bring it up and say, you know, afterwards, hey, we picked up an EVP. And what was interesting was our psychic at this time was picking up the fact that there was a male in the room and that this male was very angry. And this is the EVP we got. Mm-hmm. Get out.
Right.
I mean, that makes more sense to me. I just worry. And my concern falls for the family so much because there are so many teams. And I'm not questioning that you guys are doing anything wrong, but I'm just wondering, you know, are you afraid that you could be planting these ideas and images into the minds of your homeowners or people, you know, by telling them what the sensitive found, even if you don't have any evidence to back it up?
I think that when we do come across a case like that where we don't have much evidence, but the sensitives did pick up something, I think we would kind of have to go on a case-by-case basis and see how the homeowners feel about that, you know, if we feel that it would do more harm than good. I mean, obviously, we've had interaction with the homeowners. We can kind of get a sense of their mental state and how they really, if they feed into what we're talking about or, you know, if they're kind of exaggerating and everything. I think that it's just a case-by-case basis and as far as telling them if it was picked up for something and, you know, we don't have any evidence to back it up, it's just a case-by-case basis. That's all I can say about that.
Okay. Well, Lisa, let me ask you real quick, and I know we're going to get a little creaking. I apologize, but Lisa, let me ask you then, with that in mind, when you're setting up these investigations and you talk to a family and it's obvious that there maybe is more imagination than validity to what they're talking about, how do you handle it? I mean, do you still offer or agree to do an investigation? Do you, I don't want to say waste your time, but I mean, in a sense, if you talk to some of these people, because some of them come off, I mean, we have great people that listen to our show, but there are some wackadoos out there that will contact you and they send you silly, you know, evidence that's, you know, an obvious cat meowing in the background and they say, oh my God, it's my grandmother calling for help. Meow, meow. Can you hear her? She's saying, help me, I'm burning. You know, I mean, when you hear this kind of thing and you get this type of family, where does the responsibility fall on the team to, do we do this investigation or not?
Well, we did run into something sort of like that. Actually, just, 2 weeks ago, there was a woman that had called and said that she had some demon issues in her house. And, you know,
I do, too. I have 5 of them living at home. One's moved out, so I'm down to 5 demon issues at home. But, yeah, okay, so this lady came to you with that, and then you started to get a sense for it not being...
Yeah, her stories were kind of inconsistent. We were trying to track down the brother who was apparently the one that was possessed. We were trying to find him. We called all the hospitals. Apparently he was in the hospital. We went through all these steps because, you know what, even at the very least, if we didn't do an investigation, we need to let, you know, the parents know what the sister has been saying, and because the sister was saying that the brother was suicidal. There was all these things involved, and, you know, just as a human, we need to let people know, okay, you know, you've got issues in your house. It turned into actually more of a headache than it was worth, but it was also a really good experience. You know, we learned a lot from that.
Now, do you feel, though, that by opening yourself up to this type of thing, see, that's where I start getting kind of woogie on stuff, because there are so many families out there now that feel that their houses are haunted because, you know, the floorboards creak and the walls bang and stuff. But it's, you know, you get there, and within moments of getting there, you realize it's that they have water, you know, pipes, in the wall, and you can hear it kick on when the pump goes on.
Our first job is to find the natural reason, not the supernatural reason.
Do you have much resistance from people that are positive that that's Uncle Jake knocking in the wall? And when you tell them, well, no, listen, you can hear the pump kick on, and then it's just your pipes shaking in the wall. Do you have anybody that fights you on that at all?
So far, no.
Really? All right. That's a good deal.
I'm sure that it'll come up, but as of right now, no.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we've got some EVPs that you guys have collected from a few of your investigations. We'll play those. We'll talk. Well, if anybody has any questions on the board, they can throw them at us here. We'll cover that, but we'll take a quick break. We'll be back more with our guests from the Twin Cities Paranormal Society right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got to pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the 7-bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Welcome back to the darkness
or whatever is hanging in the air on the edge of town.
Hey, good evening and welcome back. This evening we're talking to the ladies, the co-founders of the Twin Cities Paranormal Society. And this is the beginning of a new feature we're going to do once a month where we'll have on a different team from around the world to come on and talk a little bit about their team, a little bit about the experiences that they're going through, the investigations that they've done. Now, of course, we chose this team because we're located here in Minneapolis-St. Paul area, so we wanted to talk to a team that's local. And I'm a little biased because they did let me join their team. Aww. So I get to be the mascot. I got to wear the big ghost costume and stand out during openings and hand out flyers. So
I hear you'll be at Subway next week.
Yes, exactly. So now let's talk a little bit, Lisa. Now I know that you did an investigation, and this is what a lot of people are terrified of doing, but you did an investigation of your own home because you felt stuff was going on there. What? Now you have children.
I have three daughters.
How did the girls respond to you deciding that you wanted to bring on a full-on investigation?
Actually, they didn't mind.
Okay.
I was surprised. I kind of thought that they were going to fight me on it.
Now, don't lie to me, Lisa, because your daughter's out in the lobby. I'll bring her in here.
Oh, don't.
Ashley! All right, so they were okay with you doing the investigation. Now, had you felt that there was anything malevolent in your home?
No, we didn't feel like there was anything too creepy.
Okay, all right. The scariest thing in your house are just the people living there? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Exactly.
Three daughters? I got you. I understand that. So now you didn't feel anything malevolent, but you felt that there was something else there sharing your space.
Correct. We've seen an apparition. We used to call it the big, tall, creepy guy in the backyard. We've seen
That's him. What I called him in college, the big, tall, creepy guy. Yeah. And I decided if I fed him, we could become friends, and then it worked out
and
well.
He was right.
Yes.
So we've got the big, tall, creepy guy in the backyard.
We get the courtesy laugh, man. That hurts in person. You can just imagine people are laughing hysterically over the internet. But no, that's not the way it is. It's now we know. We have a face to this. It's,
yeah.
That's good. All right. So you have the big, tall, creepy guy in the backyard.
And then there's a little girl.
And a little girl, okay.
Upstairs in between, we've got a landing in between my two oldest daughters' rooms. There's a little girl, a little blonde-haired girl up there. We've seen that. We've had things be moving around in the basement. We call them ghost kitties because I swear to God, I've almost tripped on them in the living room. So we've had activity at the house. So I thought, you know what? We've got some downtime in our group. Let's investigate my house. It's one thing to think that your house is haunted. It's just a whole nother thing to have the proof that it is.
Now we've got a couple of EVPs lined up here, and I'll give Tim a second to queue up and get this ready. So as you're staying this, let's save the weird one for last. Can we do that?
Okay.
We'll do that, but we'll cover the rest of them. And again, now, you know, I mean, I'm picky with EVPs. He's got to knock me out kind of thing, you know, to play. And we, you know, Tim was out listening and helped you clean him up a little bit so we can hear what's being said. But now that you've done an investigation in your home and you got some response.
I don't do laundry.
You know, excellent. I was wondering where that smell was coming from. Ah! Tim, let me apologize. I thought it was you.
That's okay.
All right. So you did this investigation in your home, and how many different EVPs and things did you have show up in your home?
Actually, we got quite a few EVPs in my home. We only have two pictures. We're not a big fan of orbs. We're not orb friendly.
Okay. So EVPs, for those of you that still might not know, is electronic voice phenomena. And that's when you record voices that aren't heard audibly, but they seem to make themselves known on a digital or audio magnetic recording.
Disembodied voices, yes,
that's
sir.
Right, disembodied voices. So now your team is in the house investigating, right? And Tim, what's the first EVP that we have queued up here? And tell me a little bit about the story behind it. What was the question being asked? Do you know? I mean, what the EVP is. He'll tell you what the EVP is.
Let's set up the one about not doing the laundry.
Okay. Yeah, with the reason for not doing the laundry. So I take it this one takes place in your laundry room.
This one is in the basement. And, you know, we've all felt that it was a kind of a creepy basement. Even our sensitives, who we didn't tell anything about it, they walked down and they were just pointing out places that it was just heavy. And we've all felt like we were being watched. This particular EVP was in the laundry room, hence I don't do laundry anymore.
Now, do we have the question that preceded this, or is it just a tape running for a while and this is what you pick up?
There was no question.
Okay, so go ahead and let's play this one real quickly, and then we'll see if we can hear what they say. Now, what was there like a laughter going on? What was I hearing? I was hearing a couple different things. What were you picking up out of that?
All we caught out of there, I mean, there's our investigators. And then there was a lull, and then there's the I'm not done cleaning.
I'm not done cleaning. Let's hear that one again, Tim.
Oh, hold on. Oop, wrong one.
Oop. Don't anybody listen to that last one.
Yeah.
All right, start over, Tim.
Ignore that one.
Wow. They're not done cleaning. Were they still doing laundry at the time, or what was the...
I don't know.
Okay. So you got that down in the laundry room. But see, that didn't sound scary or anything.
No.
You know, why would you be afraid of your laundry room now? Now you know you've got somebody else there cleaning. Now, it did sound like a feminine voice. It almost sounds like your voice.
I don't clean. So,
which is obvious because you said that you won't go down there anymore. But, you know, a lot of the experts in the field of the paranormal and EVP experts and analysts say that a lot of times the EVPs come through in our own voices. Now, again, that might lend itself to the fact of what if we're picking up alternate reality Lisa's house, right? And you do clean there. I know that's
a
stretch to think about.
That
is a total alternate reality. But that could be why you're hearing the voice. I don't know, Tim. I mean, we've kind of talked about this in the past, and I know you don't have a microphone, and I like putting you in this position.
Hey, now.
But I don't know. I mean, that's just something to consider because it's been interesting. You know, we had Chad and Adrian on from Terror Normal, which, by the way, is out. So go to terrornormal.com. You can watch the full episode is up on their site. But during one of the parts, Chad sees what he thinks is an apparition, but it almost appears to be himself looking back down at himself. So, you know, I'm wondering if he was in, you know, if he was catching a glimpse of the alternate reality where he was up there investigating, and this is what was crossing patterns. So I don't know, it's just kind of a strange deal, but that some of the voices always come out in our voices when we know we didn't say it. That's what's so bizarre to me. So what's the next EVP that we have queued up here, Tim?
Let's go to the laughing one.
Laughing one, okay. Now, where was this done?
This was in my bedroom.
Really?
It was in my bedroom.
And what kind of pajamas did you wear?
I know, that's my whole point of this one. I really don't know how I feel about this one. Should I be insulted?
Well, let's find out. Let's hear is it a cackling? Is it a deep moan? Let's hear what the laughter is, and then we'll let you know what kind of trouble you're in. Well, I'd move out. That's all I want to say. Ashley, we're going to put a bed in the back room for you. You could stay at the radio station. So, okay, well, play that one again. That was a creepy laugh, man. That's weird. Let's hear that one. Yeah, that's weird. That's a weird laugh. That's not a good laugh. That was a creepy laugh.
Yeah.
If I was to judge laughs, I would say, as Simon Cowell, that was an ultimately creepy laugh. It freaked me the hell out.
That was terrible. You put more bass behind it.
All right, so you've got that in your bedroom now.
Yeah.
Wow. Lisa, dating's got to be tough. I got to say, man, you having a guy over to your house, that's going to be a lot of pressure now, don't you think? Boy, guys are under a lot of pressure already now that you know you've got a judge sitting in there giggling at you. All right, let's hear. What do we got the next one is? Where, Tim?
Walk away.
Walk away. Now, where is this heard?
You know, I don't even know where this one's heard.
Upstairs.
Hold on 1 second. We'll get Michelle back on cue over here and get her up. Michelle, now, you're investigating your friend's home, okay? She's called you in. Now, as an investigator, are you feeling like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do our own homes?
No, I think validation goes both ways, you know. I mean, if Lisa and her family were feeling that something was there and they wanted some answers, then you know, why not?
All right. So now what's the story behind this one, Walk Away?
We had two investigators upstairs. I'm not quite sure. I believe this was in the middle child's room. And they were asking questions, and then there was just this...
I just laugh because I'm wondering if their daughters know which rooms these things came from. They're going to review this and they're going to be like, that was in my room. Tonight, everybody's sleeping in Lisa's room.
With the laughter?
Oh, that's true.
Right?
Maybe just in the laundry room where the only person they're running into is Alice, the cleaning lady. All right. So they were up there in the middle child's room.
Yep. They were asking some questions, just doing the normal EVP type session. And there was a couple minutes of silence. And then this is what we captured.
Thank you.
Play that again, Tim. It almost sounded like Look Away, I thought. I don't know. Look away, I'm hideous.
Hold on. You people are too fast.
Tim and I are out investigating, right? We're at this train station, and I come walking up on Tim, and he goes, doesn't know I'm collecting EVPs. And he goes, what are you going to do? I said, collecting EVPs. He goes, I'm working up an EVP in my pants for you. So all I can imagine is that it's like one of your investigators going, walk away. Walk away. Because that's just my image. But anyway, okay, let's go ahead and hear this one, Tim. Right at the beginning of that, was somebody speaking that you're aware of who that person was? Because do you hear that, Tim? It almost sounds like somebody's talking right at the beginning of that EVP. Let's hear it. Do you hear that? It's almost like a... Gotcha. Gotcha. And Lisa's like, well, I didn't hear that. Thanks for showing us even more now.
The no, we did have a group of the rest of us downstairs at that point in time.
But do you know if that voice that we're hearing right at the beginning of the EVP, is it one of the investigators talking? Or is
no,
it
was not either of the investigators that were up there.
Well, okay. All right. And then now this is my personal favorite. This is an amazing EVP. And I'll tell you what, I don't know because we just talked about how tough dating must be. But with this being said, you could become a very popular paranormal investigator. Now, this is a weird one. Now, I would think this is, and I'm just kidding, Lisa. I don't mean any disrespect, but when people hear the EVP, this is as a man, I'd move out, Lisa. This is this is weird. This is awkward. Mm-hmm. Awkward. All right. So now where is this one taken?
I believe that one might have been from the basement. I can't remember for sure.
All right. I'd have knocked down and made sure I know where this is taking place because this isn't one you want to hear. Should we say what it is beforehand or should we just let it go?
No.
Let it go.
Let it go? All right.
Time?
Yeah, I didn't hear that one that time. Let me hear it again.
Okay.
All right. That's a little naughty.
Wait, I gotta hear it one more time.
All right, for those of you that aren't hearing it very clearly, it's kind of weird. Get your headphones on and replay the show tomorrow. But it appears to our ears, and it could be because we've heard it because what the ladies told us was being said, but the voice is calling out and saying, blow me, whore. Wow. So have you done any investigating to find out if your house used to be like a brothel or... No, I mean, seriously, because where would that come from?
There's been a few instances where we're not for sure if it's the creepy old guy in the backyard, but I know there's been a couple instances when we've investigated Lisa's house that our shirts have been pulled in the front. It just seems kind of like it's just kind of creepy, just like a creepy old guy.
Wait a minute. Kind of creepy?
Okay, it is creepy.
Somebody's looking down your shirt and you hear, blow me, whore. Well, that's a little creepy. Just a little. I'm okay with it. I'm actually all right with it. Well, that's a little weird. So, yeah. All right. Play it one last time. We'll see if people hear it. I'm sure we'll get shelled because some people can't. And it's so subjective. Well, that's bizarre. So, now, this is in your house. What have you... let's get the mic back over here, Tim, cause so I don't get the creeping motion. Lisa, let me find out from you now. Get up close. Don't be afraid of it. Get up close. Don't be... Yeah, oh god. Yeah, the show is quickly going right for me. What have you done now?
That was in Heather's room.
That was in Heather's room.
I mean my youngest daughter's room.
Okay. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Why are you getting upset? Your younger daughter didn't know her name was Heather?
She didn't know that was in her room.
Oh, wow. Now she does.
Well, how does that make you feel as a mom?
It kinda? It pisses me off, actually. All right.
Okay. What have you done?
Absolutely nothing. Except for we are not going to have any more investigations at my house.
All right. Well, I guess.
No, I really think that.
Don't ask, don't tell? Is that what we're in now?
No, but I think because we had done, I think we just overdid it. And I think we just made him angry. and they're and the background that was done on the house, the woman was apparently not a very friendly woman, and she wasn't a fan of people coming over. She was not a people person.
Or a fan of blowing him, apparently.
Apparently.
And
Leo, who was the gentleman that actually did die in the house, he apparently was very friendly, enjoyed gardening. Well, I just think that we overstayed our welcome. And so, and since we have
trying to grow tomatoes, you whore! Get away from me! That's a little bit of an extreme take on it, don't you think?
I think I heard that on a gardening show on Channel
4
the other day,
actually. Oh, good God. All right, so
I just think that we overstayed our welcome with them, and since we haven't had an investigation there for quite a while now, activity is completely quiet. Nothing's going on, and we're going to keep it that way.
Wow. I don't know if you're brave or crazy or a little bit of both, because that's I'd be unnerved, you know? I was specifically told by, in no uncertain terms, from the wife and kids, there'll be no EVP collecting. My kids wanted to. They're like, let's get EVPs, Dad, because we watch Ghost Hunters. Let's get EVPs. I said, all right, let's go in your room. No. Mm-hmm. Why not, guys? No, I don't want to hear if it's in my room, Dad. I said, well, then why should we get an EVP? We'll just leave these things alone and we'll be there. But, boy, that's creepy. I don't know.
Well, I got to tell you, though, my middle daughter, the one that's had a lot of activity up in her room, when we did the... Not that kind of activity.
All right, good. All right, go ahead.
No locks on those doors.
Okay.
When the day that we had our very first investigation, she had come home early, and so we allowed her to participate. It goes against the rules, but it was my house.
Okay.
That night... Our group, the Twin Cities Paranormal Society, I became so proud of them because they did exactly what our goals were. They comforted her, and they validated what she was feeling, and they made her feel like she's not crazy, and it's okay. She's not in any danger, and they did their job.
Are you sure that wasn't just because she was sitting over the Rice Krispie treats crying and they wanted a slice, so they were trying to be nice?
Well, they were brownies. But
oh,
yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guests this evening are Lisa Hottinger and Michelle Bays. They are the co-founders of the Twin Cities Paranormal Society based here in Minnesota. If you have trouble and you're looking for help and you feel that you're in over your head and the paranormal is bothering you and you live in the Minnesota area, anywhere in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin, these ladies will travel. South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska. I've been to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Okay. No, but if you need help, you can reach out and email these ladies at TwinCitiesParanormalSociety.com. If you go to our website and click on the show tab, you'll be able to see the picture of these ladies. There's a link to their website and to their MySpace site, so you can contact them through either one of those. And if you have tips, ideas, hints, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to listen to those as well, so they know how to get and become a better team and more cohesive. We're going to be back more right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
Thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Use the words of Mary Thompson, there is no greater pain than the loss of a loved one. So many things you never thought you would have to do, so many decisions you never thought you would have to face. Mary describes the painful journey of losing her husband to a chronic illness in her new book, With Angels Beside Me, A Caregiver's Story. With Angels Beside Me not only takes you through Mary's struggles, but also serves as a guide to caregivers everywhere that are looking to find peace, guidance, and hope in their own situations. With Angels Beside Me, A Caregiver's Story is available right now at Amazon.com. Just search for the title on Amazon or for Mary herself. With Angels Beside Me is only $9.95 and available to ship anywhere around the world. If you know someone who's losing a loved one, or if you yourself are facing some sort of loss of a family member, be sure to read Mary Thompson's With Angels Beside Me, A Caregiver's Story. Available right now on Amazon.com.
George Clooney, Carmen Diaz, Oprah, Ellen, George Bush, Diane Pelosi.
What are you doing?
I'm making a list of people I want to tell about charity checks.
Do you know any of those people?
No, but if I can get to them, They might want to tell the public how cool it is to use giving certificates as presents instead of gift certificates.
Giving certificates?
Yeah, you know, they can be used as a donation to any legitimate charity. So the person who gives a charity check gets the tax deduction, and the person who gets one decides where the money goes.
Why don't you just tell people directly about charity checks yourself?
Like anyone would listen to me. www.charitychecks.us for information about the perfect present.
Well, no, they're not going to listen to you like that. But if you just said that charity checks provides a unique way to turn your gift money into giving money, they might pay attention.
Catchy.
Then you just casually say the web address, charitychecks.us, America's Giving Certificates.
I still think a celebrity endorsement would be more effective.
If you read Taxpayer Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taxpayer Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
You may have been to the Stanley Hotel before. You may have even taken the ghost tour offered at that famous hotel in Estes Park. But have you ever truly investigated the paranormal there before? Wouldn't you like to have the opportunity to do so with Sci-Fi TV's Ghost Hunters, Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson? Well, now you can. Join us for our paranormal retreat April 1st through the 4th at the historic Stanley Hotel. To find out more about this great adventure, visit darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. Hurry, spots are limited and they will fill quickly. That's darknessevents.com.
You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. I took over for Dave. He's actually playing the Blow Me Whore EVP over and over and over again. It's kind of a scary thing.
This thing rocks!
I think we should leave him by himself for a while. We have a couple of questions. Actually, they're about the same question. We're the Twin Cities Paranormal Society, by the way, on the Darkness on the Edge of Town. We have a couple of questions that actually are similar to the... let's get rid of this, shall we? That are similar. So I'm going to ask them both to you, ladies, and we'll try and combine them into one question. Thump on the Boards wants to know what type of precautions you take with your sensitives before an investigation, if any. And then to add to that, do you use any type of protocols to ensure that there isn't any cross-contamination, so to speak, between the two groups if you separate them? And that part comes from Paula. So I'll let you ladies take it away.
We don't necessarily separate our sensitives from the rest of the group. We give a very general overview of what activity has been going on in the house that we're investigating or the site that we're investigating. And so we don't give necessarily a lot of details. We just give generalities of what's going on.
All right. So, that's got to be the best way because you don't want to taint them,
right?
The psychics to do this. Now, when you're doing these investigations, have the psychics ever blown you away that they picked up on something that you did not let them know about?
There was our very first investigation. We did have one of our sensitive, well, actually both of our sensitives that were on the case picked up on the history of a fire there, and that is very true. So, and I don't even think we knew at the time that we were investigating. We had to go back and check that out. So,
okay, all right, well, that's interesting. Now you've been doing a number of investigations. You're honing your craft, getting things ready so that you guys are available. What happens if a family calls you in the middle of the night and says, Michelle, we have things flying around. You know, our kid vanished into the TV. Clowns have grabbed my child and dragged him into the closet.
I think we would kind of look at their mental status first.
Well, seriously, though, if somebody's looking for help immediately, do you have a protocol in place to get over there immediately to help somebody?
We do have a protocol as far as we do a preliminary interview with them. We do a walkthrough. That has to be done, irregardless of what's going on. That is just something that is standard protocol for our group.
No.
We did try and talk that girl off the roof the one time, though.
Okay, so the one girl that was thinking that she was under the demonic stance.
We were on the phone with her for quite a while, trying to calm her down.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. What is your goal going forward? Now, I know we also had some questions on the board. People wanted to know where some of the most haunted spots in Minnesota. So I want to answer that for you. There's a ton of haunted spots, but the best place to go is Troy Taylor's website. And it's, I believe, prairieghosts.com. Go to Prairie Ghost. Tim, is it Prairie Ghosts or prairieghost.com? I think it's ghosts, right? We'll look it up, prairieghosts.com, and they have a breakdown by state of the different hotspot paranormal spots that you can go check out. And, you know, that's probably your best bet. Or if you pick up a book like Haunted Heartland, I think there's also Midwest Haunts, a few different books like that that'll tell you where the most haunted spots are in each city and state across the country. So there's that atlas for you that way. Are you guys interested in investigating, you know, known hotspots to check it out, or are you more interested in just going out and helping homeowners and you know, business owners that have something going on that's unnerving them?
I say we're definitely interested in both. You know,
look how talkative Lisa is as soon as I move the mic away from her. Right? We can't get her to talk when the mic's in front of her mouth. As soon as I move away, she's like, yeah, we got to. And you can't hear a word she's saying.
There's only dogs right now that are hearing.
Yes, exactly. Dolphins and dogs. That's what we've been told. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're definitely interested in obviously helping the homeowners that we know of, but we are very interested in going out to the more famous sites of that are around this area to go check that out and see if what's really going on, you know, is true and what's been found is accurate.
Let me ask you this, Michelle. I think I know Lisa's answer, but I want to ask your opinion on this, okay?
Okay.
You go into a home where purportedly a child's ghost is trapped, okay? Do you try to help that spirit? If the family says, well, we don't want it to leave. We just want to know who it is or why they're here. Do you believe that they should be? Do you believe that decision should be left to the family that's dealing with the haunting, or do you believe that that you should try to help this spirit move on to the light or move on to whatever comes next?
I think in a situation like that, I think we would definitely try our hardest to educate the homeowners and let them know, you know, that it is better for the spirit to cross over, to pass on. So I definitely think we would try to take that route before just saying, okay, you know, hey, it's your house. You do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's not fair. It's not fair to the spirit or the entity that's there.
If you're doing the investigations like this and you come across EVP and you hear a child calling for help, what is your next move? Do you go back to that house to continue an investigation and try to bring in help? Do you then just say, here's what we found, what would you like us to do, or do you want us to put you in touch with clergy, or?
We would, you know, like you said, you know, present them with the evidence that we have. We do have people on our team that are able to help people, help the spirits cross over. So we would definitely offer that to them before helping them find somewhere else if they, you know, if they weren't comfortable for whatever reason with us doing it.
All right. Do you look for investigations where, you know, there's, I shouldn't say do you look for, is there a type of investigation, is there something that you would tell people, well, this doesn't, you know, after you've done your interview and it sounds, you've kind of evaluated this person probably is not mentally challenged and that there might be something over your head, would you still go in and try to do the investigation, or would you look for backup to find somebody else to come in and help you on that investigation?
I know we're not too prideful to just go in, you know, and just jump in with no rhyme or reason and knowing that we are way in over our head. I know that we would, and we actually have went and found other people just to get ideas, you know, to have experts there to make sure that that it's going to be taken care of. You know, we're not just going to leave somebody hanging in a way.
Right. Well, and I bring that up, you know, because I do have some insight. I know that you talked to me briefly about the demon problem. So I got you in touch with Adam Bly, who's been a guest on our show and is a demonologist. And he was able to give you some insights and tips on what to watch for and what not to, you know, things to kind of keep an eye on. So, that's what I like. And that's what I was impressed about with your team. And I hope that people that might be having problems like this will contact you and seek help, because I do think that you've got a great group. You've got some fantastic researchers that are able to pull up amazing information on the homes and history and who died in the home, stuff that a lot of groups don't even know how to find. Right. And you've got some fantastic people that can pull up this information, including background on the people that used to live in the home. You know, not anything that's hidden, but I mean, you know, like from the 1800s, given that, that's fantastic resource, because so much of the stuff really helps tie it in to where it is now. Because if it's making no sense that, you know, at 5 o'clock this coal miner comes walking through with his donkey, but you know, this property was always the home of a steamboat captain, it doesn't make any sense. So it's awesome that you guys are able to do that. You've got a great team. I really enjoyed, I was invited to go along with you last night, and I got to go out on an investigation. It was one of my first investigations here in Minnesota. So it was a great opportunity to be there and kind of watch your team work together. And I was very impressed with the way they worked and gelled and helped each other and kept each other on track. So, you know, for anybody that is looking for a good team, like I said, there's some other fantastic teams spread throughout the Minnesota area. We'll be talking to them on future shows. But tonight I want you to check out the Twin Cities Paranormal Society. The phone number, Michelle, why don't you give it out again real quick? It's 651-77-GHOST.
Yes.
All right. So it's 651-77-GHOST. If you have any questions, concerns, problems, and again, if you'd like to contact the two ladies with tips and ideas on how to better their investigations, or if you have ideas on how to keep them separated from their mediums and do this, please email them. You can check out their website, and their emails are right at their website at TwinCitiesParanormalSociety.com. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Thank you for sharing your ideas, your tips with us, and your stories, and your awesome EVPs. Thank you again for tuning into the show this evening. I want to thank my co-host and buddy Tim for being here with us again. And we've got some great shows coming up. Make sure you stick with us. We'll be back again live next week. We've only got a couple weeks before we're off to the Stanley. We hope you're going to join us there. For all information regarding Darkness Events, please check out our website at darknessevents.com. Well, thank you again for tuning in. We'll be back again with you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anna Bay has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.